Saturday nights, the Golden Eagle Lodge hangs kerosene lamps beside the trail so you can keep skiing after dark. The string of lanterns stretches off into the distance, bright enough to light your path, dim enough not to veil the stars.
We were out on the trail tonight, and I said to Jenny, I said, just stop and be quiet. And that wonderful no sound, just the breath coming from your mouth, and it's exquisite.
Ray Anschel and his daughter Jenny are up from the cities, drinking cocoa in the lodge. He teaches writing at a community college. She's on break from school out east. After the frantic holidays, they came north for peace.
Even seeing the people that you really love seeing, like after a while, you just want to be able to like be where no one can reach you. There's not a phone and you can think.
It's the same reason I can't stand going to malls. I just covet the quiet and maybe the utter simplicity that's out here. You don't really need an awful lot. A cup of hot chocolate and you know, a stove, and it's great.
Peace, says lodge owner Dan Bauman, is his chief commodity, and it's a perfect product for the 90s. In high demand and short supply, peace is expensive. A midwinter week in most Gunflint Trail cabins will cost you from $600 to $1,000 if you can get a reservation.
We have a five-year waiting list to get in for New Year's. It's impossible to get in, literally.
Bauman is amazed at what's happened to Minnesota winters. When his family bought the Golden Eagle in 1976, it was a run-down summer business, four small cabins, very few visitors. But cross-country skiing was just getting popular. Other Gunflint resorts were spiffing up old logging roads and offering them as trails. In the early 80s, the Baumans risked everything. They borrowed big, winterized the resort, and built seven new cabins.
We're struggling along, but every year we got underneath us, we got a little better. And the business got stronger, and you know, when we got to the late 80s, the business just started taking major leaps. We're at a point right now where winter is almost better than summer.
The Bauman story coincides with several tourism trends. Since the late 70s, there's been steady growth in the so-called silent sports, cross-country skiing, hiking, snowshoeing. With the federal designation of the Boundary Waters Canoe Area, people also became more interested in wilderness. Perhaps inevitably, friction soon developed between the silent sport enthusiasts and those who preferred machines. Meet Weasel. It's not his real name, but it's the one he likes. Weasel is 12, been driving snowmobiles since he was 9. This one's his very own, a present from Dad.
It's a Skidoo Formula SL, 1995. It's light, it's fast. It'll go about 70.
Weasel and his group are spending the evening at a place called the Hungry Jack Lodge, a few miles from the Golden Eagle. The front door of Hungry Jack's popular bar and restaurant faces the lake, and most people arrive by snowmobile. If you come in a car, you have to park in back and walk around. Hungry Jack's is one of the Gunflint's best-known snowmobile hotspots. These guys, every last one of them from Twin Cities suburbs, have been coming back for years.
To experience, you know, perhaps the last frontier. The women? No.
You're seeing parts of Minnesota you would never normally see, and you're socializing with your good friends, and it's a good time.
We've built a lot of friendships through snowmobiling.
Jerry Parson is the owner of Hungry Jack's. White-bearded, gruff, and outgoing, Parson remembers the scrapes of the middle 80s, snowmobilers riding over groomed ski trails, skiers finding unoccupied sleds in the woods and tossing away the keys. Both camps say those things don't happen anymore. Their respective trails are established and marked, and never the twain shall meet. Parson says the differences between his clientele and Dan Bauman's can be explained in a few mostly accurate cliches.
Cross-country skiers are more environmentalists. We call them the greens, the tree huggers. And that ain't all bad. That's just their group. And snowmobilers are bikers, jet skiers, they're machine people, and you always have that conflict.
Parson, like Bauman, was a purely summertime resorter at first, until snowmobiles began breaking sales records in the late 70s. Minnesotans now own about 275,000 registered sleds. That's a lot of dinners and overnight stays, and also a lot of decibels and Budweisers. At the bar, a customer who didn't want his name used said snowmobilers have developed a habitual defensiveness.
We're under the gun right now. You're burning fossil fuels. That's bad. You're treading on the environment. That's bad. In the public eye, it's not a very good thing.
All the same, it's common for 250 snowmobilers to hit Hungry Jack's on a Saturday night for a room or dinner or fuel. Jerry Parsons says 35% of his business now occurs in the winter. And this winter, for both silent and motorized sports, has been better than most. With much of the state barren of snow, snowmobilers and skiers have been flocking to the Gunflint in record numbers. High school cross-country ski teams have driven 5 hours north to practice. Resorts have sold up to 10 times the usual number of one-day trail passes. In the ongoing debate over who's most important to the region, the greens or the machines, one business owner told NPR, "It's foolish to have an opinion." Leif Enger, Main Street Radio.